It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than calling a he a she or a she a he or settling for shim. The number to call in is 845-986-8804. Chat room, DenPen, DavinComedy.com, live broadcast. Pip will hook you up. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. The hookup, Pip Helix, is right there.
Hey.
Hey, Pip. Joe will be here when Joe gets here.
Yes.
Do they know how to sign in the chat room?
Yeah, they do, but I'm just about to plug it in there.
Beautiful. Yes. On the show, School of Fools is a teacher who was fired for not calling a transgender student by their preferred pronouns is now suing the school district, saying this is a violation of religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it is. A student doesn't want to do her math homework because she feels the word prom had fat shaming in it. Drunks of the News will span the globe and share some of the most unusual drinks with you. That's going to be fun. We should make them. Outstanding displays of spite featuring a vegan and a Scambusters with Ann Jackson. And make sure you stick around for the Facebook Live post show. We'll tell you about a man who sued his ex-wife's lover for stealing her from him and won. That's a fun story.
I know. That's great.
Instead of take my wife, please, it's going to fucking cost you, motherfucker.
Yes.
So what's going on? Anything?
You know... we should start atoning any moment now.
Oh, yeah, it's Yom Kippur.
Yes,
hey,
it is.
I should be fasting and atoning, and I'm doing none of that.
None of that?
No, it's not for me.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not for me.
But I did post on Facebook that all comics should issue their blanket apology right now, you know, because it's time to atone. I figure, you know what, if God can forgive us, the audience can.
Well, you know, everybody's going to end up having to apologize for everything at some point anyway, so you might as well get it done on a holiday that's based on that.
Yeah, it's a bad holiday.
It's not one of your good ones. It's not one of the good ones.
There's not a lot of Jewish good ones, but this one is 25 hours, no food, no drink, no shower, no washing, no brushing your teeth, and you spend the majority of the time praying for your life.
For
forgiveness.
For a moment where you can just feel how good mint toothpaste feels on your teeth again.
Yeah. You know, I used to do it. You know, it's one of those, you know, it's kind of like your Christmas or Easter's for the Jews. You know, it's one of the days where people who never go to a temple. But I say, nay, nay. I've talked about before. I will not be a fraud. I will not be a phony.
Well, you know what? I think that the Jewish calendar makes mistake by pushing the two biggies right up against one another.
Well, there's another holiday on Sunday.
Really? What's that one?
That one's Sukkot. That's where we eat outside
in
the big tents. And then there's, and you know how I feel about camping in tents. And then at the end of the week, there's Simchat Torah, which is the celebration of finishing the Torah.
Oh.
So you go through the whole Bible and they throw candy and you get a lot of candy and that's kind of fun, I guess.
That sounds good.
Yeah, but you know what? It's kind of like, reading Hunger Games. All right, you're done. Well, you know, you don't start all over again. You move on to Harry Potter.
Right.
You know, you move on to something else.
But that's not true. With the Torah, they want you to go back and start again.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, it's just a perpetual cycle.
Go and read and read and read. Like,
I can't have it.
Couldn't I read something else?
No, well, I mean, there's anything other things to read too. But with the Torah, it's like boom, you're right back in it, back in the beginning.
Speaking of reading, my office has this really cool table in the kitchen, which is the. It's basically put down stuff you don't want anymore, and somebody else will snap it up.
Oh, wow. That's perfect for you.
It's amazing.
Wow. You don't have to go out for garage sales. It's coming to you.
No. I've been bringing stuff in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Mr. Helix must be harder than a fucking stone now.
He actually doesn't know I've been doing it.
Well, there's so much shit.
I know. It didn't make a dent.
But when you tell him, I mean, it's going to be like freaking steel.
I know. Ting!
That is not going to come down for a while.
No, I know.
That is almost as good as going to the 50th concert in a row.
Yeah, you know what? Yes, it is. And
he might take you out to celebrate. Maybe take you to a concert during the cooler weather so you don't die.
That's my plan. I like the feeling of being ready to let something go, putting on the table, coming back to make coffee later, and it's gone.
Really?
Yes.
All right, so what trinkets are you giving away?
Well, so far, I had good success. I had one thing that was cool. It was a abacus from IKEA from years ago.
Well, why? Why would you even buy? Why do you need an abacus?
It was a funny joke in my office, my old office. But I don't work there anymore, and so the joke is gone.
Yeah, but you worked with numbers. Was that it? Nobody could work with numbers. Years an abacus.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a funny joke.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The people you work with and the type of work you did, not really known for their humor.
Well, you know what? It was a nice little office decoration. It was colorful.
And when you said goodbye, you took your abacus with you.
I did.
I'm taking my fern and my abacus. You get nothing.
Yes, that's right. And I went, puh.
And Mr. Helix saw that abacus come into the house. And goes,
oh, no, he probably didn't even notice that with the avalanche of other things I had accumulated over a whole career.
So what's an IKEA abacus?
So it's just, one made out of wood and.
They're always made out of wood.
Yeah, and the little base would unfold, and it just happened that I bought it there. It's not that it's anything special.
Horrible purchase.
I took it home. No, I enjoyed it for years, and then I was like, I'm done with this. So,
like a boyfriend.
I think it's supposed to. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a kid's toy. So I just like dusted it off. It looked perfectly brand new, and I put it on the table. Not an hour. Boom, gone.
Well, somebody might have had a kid. I mean, it's good for kids.
I know. It was really
good. That's good. All right.
Yes. And there's enough people coming and going that I learned if I put it down there first thing in the morning, gone.
I feel like you should put like used underwear there.
No, but you know what? I have a pack of underwear that I bought for my brother, and I bought a size too small, and they would really be uncomfortable going on the table.
Tidy whiteys?
Yes, actually. Yes.
Wow. 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 So you buy underwear for your brother. Let's talk about that.
Well, you know what? Hey, he's really difficult to shop for holidays.
Apparently, you don't even know the right size for his boys.
No, why would you know? I mean,
why would you buy that for him?
Well,
he's your brother.
I know. But
the only person you should be buying that for is a kid if you had it, or your husband. You don't buy that for anybody else.
But I bought it for my brother because I was out of things. So it was sort of like a stocking
anything
stuffer.
Else. That's why God invented the gift card, the gift certificate, or you make him a nice meal, cash,
well,
anything else.
Well, this was when he was homebound. So I bought him
underwear.
Oh, he's
underwear. Out and about now?
No, but I'm just saying.
Well, he's homebound still.
Yeah, I know, but buying him a gift card means fuck all when you're stuck in your house.
Buying him tighty-whitey underwear is awkward. The best you could do with buying your brother underwear is some gag boxers. That's the best you could do.
No, he needed underwear.
But then he would tell you what size.
I know, but I was at the store.
Did
and
he
I
ask you to get the underwear?
He needed a couple things.
How do you even know that?
Because
I blew through a couple of pairs of the Fruit of the Looms. The grape's not looking so fine. How does that conversation even come up?
Because when he was in the hospital, I had to pack clothes for him. So you get intimately aware with what people have and don't have.
So awkward.
Well, you know.
But it says what size it is, or it's worn out.
Well, it's was worn out.
Why not ask him?
You know what? It was there was a lot going on.
Yeah, what size underwear? Boom, you're in, you're out, it's over.
I know, you'd think.
or better yet, Mr. Helix could ask.
No, why? Why should he have to ask?
Because if it's awkward for you.
It's not awkward for me.
It should be.
It wasn't.
It's really, wow.
I don't find shame in people's underwear.
How about if he starts buying you underwear? You like that?
Not as comfortable.
See? So you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, not as comfortable. Yeah. But I don't think women's underwear is as simple as for the loom.
Well, you fucked up. So clearly it's not that simple.
It's not.
No, it's not simple. Things pinch. Where do they ride up?
I live by the size it used to be.
I found out the hard way. I've been buying cheap boxers for years.
You're a boxer guy?
Yeah, I mean, I got. I don't have any tidy whiteys, but I got some of the tidies. I have a little bit of everything. I don't have a little bit of everything. I don't have thongs. But
hey, now.
Why does that surprise you that I'm a boxer guy? Let's go back to that.
I pictured boxer briefs. I don't know why.
I've had boxer briefs, but I haven't bought them in years, so I don't have any more. I started as a tight. I started as a fire trucks and police.
Okay, that's really far back, and I'm uncomfortable knowing this.
Yes, that caused enough problems when I was in camp, and I had to get changed going into the second grade. I got one of those, well, they're just jealous speeches from my mom. Nay, nay, they weren't jealous. They were just making fun of me.
They were laughing too hard to be jealous.
Yeah, oh, no. Every kid wants fire trucks. No, Mom. No, they don't.
They're jealous of your hose.
My hose?
Fire truck, fire hose.
Oh, no. I've been, you know, like airplanes and, you know, it was like tidy whitey underwear.
Yeah, but you were a little kid.
I was going into the second grade. Apparently, it's too old for that.
No.
Well, you know what? When you're dressing with other boys, it is, all right?
Okay.
It is. I found out. Trust me. I lived through it.
I know. It's like if you have a training bra because you have nothing to put in there, the other girls will torment you.
Yeah. So I had that. Then I went to underoos.
Because kids suck.
Underoos were fantastic, by the way.
Underoos are how I live my life.
I would wear underoos now.
Yes.
I actually went to it when we were in Vermont. There was a country store that was still selling underoos.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I would love underoos.
I would wear. I feel like that's probably my true underwear spirit animal.
You know, yes.
So,
well, when I was teaching, I had to put together a wardrobe to wear in the classroom. I didn't have that kind of clothes. So I... Actually, oh, wait, no, it was Garanimals. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, that's different.
They don't make those for adults.
No, I know, but they should. It's like, look,
I want to wear a lion today.
All of the lions match one another. So
is that what the whole thing was?
Yeah.
I had Garanimals, but I never knew the psychology.
Yeah, no, but that's how I put together my wardrobe. I just said, okay, I would pick one thing with a bunch of colors in it. If those colors match on that shirt, they match each other. So I based my whole teaching wardrobe on one friggin' shirt. I said, everything matches that shirt. Then they all go together.
Yeah, you were a skanky teacher, wore the same thing every day.
Gross. I didn't. No, I didn't.
It's gross.
I was a skanky teacher, but it wasn't because of my clothes.
So I went to underoos.
Okay.
Then for years, it was tidy whiteys. Like, I probably didn't move out of the tidy whitey thing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably until after college.
Mm.
Around, like, somewhere during college, which is really weird to think that I was, like, I was getting laid wearing tidy whiteys. That's fucking weird.
Well, I don't see why they are, like, a bad thing.
I don't know. They're just not in fashion.
Yeah, but who cares?
No, I mean, they're fine, but here's the thing. Things get sweatier in tidy whiteys. So, if your crotch will be entertaining, perhaps not the best thing to wear.
Mm-hmm.
But, whatever. It worked. It was fine. But now I don't buy tidy whities. I don't have tidy whities. But I was buying cheap boxers.
Okay. Oh.
And I never. But then, like, when it would get, like, really hot.
Yeah.
I would, like, chafe on my legs.
Yeah.
And I didn't know why.
Oh, because they're riding up.
But and the material's crap.
Yeah.
I didn't. I just learned this, like, a few months ago.
Oh.
So now I have, like, three pairs of
actually good.
I think I got into boxers because girls started buying me boxers. Girls I was seeing.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if girls are buying me that, then I'm assuming that's what they want.
Right.
And you know what? I'm not going to fucking ruin a deal over underwear.
No.
So if you know, but like silk box or stuff like that they would buy that.
I figure if I'm a guy and any girl is interested in anything I've got going on below my navel, you know what? I think I'm going with that.
Yeah,
unless it's like a banana hammock kind
of
situation.
Nobody's ever bought me that.
Oh.
Nobody's ever wanted to see that.
I don't think anybody wants to see that. No. It just, it's kind of an uncomfortable look. Everything bunched up.
It's European.
I know, but why do they want everything bunched up in one little
shows
knot?
Shows it off. Shows it off.
No,
I guess.
It doesn't. It makes it look like a knot.
I don't know. So why'd you think I was all tidy-whitey?
Well, I, you know what? I don't give a lot of thought to this, to be honest.
It's a little unfortunate.
No, I mean, I just don't. I don't think, you know, back eyes and go, I wonder, you know, if I'm thinking what's going on under there, I'm not thinking about the underpants.
That's good. Yeah. That's as far as you go. I'm not going back one more leg.
No. But I mean, like, I don't really have, like, a very strong preference unless it's something that's just like so ridiculous or unless we have to have a talk because it's girls' underwear or if it's just, you know, like, I don't know,
girls.
An elephant.
See, I got
with
like
a special little pouch.
I got some of the tidy whitey type, but they're not white. They're like black, they're gray, and that's good. That's good when I'm playing sports, because when you're playing sports, boxer's not ideal.
Everything's got to be tucked away.
Yeah,
from harm.
Yeah, because there's a lot of running involved and sliding and diving and.
Yeah, I would imagine that there could be harm.
Yeah,
you need to pouch that up.
No, I would go with what do you call it? I would do the boxer brief thing again.
The boxer brief seemed to me.
I had like three pairs, but
cozy.
They're fine. I had three pairs, but they didn't survive.
Well, I mean, they don't really. All survive.
No, but I'll tell you what, tidy whiteys last a long time. Like I had tidy whiteys back in the day. I mean, the elastic was gone, but I was still using them. But then you just get to a point, and go, all right, enough. Stop being an animal. Here's the problem with tidy whiteys.
Yeah.
They're white. That's the problem with tidy whiteys.
Why is that a problem?
Have you met us?
Say no more. Yes. Got it.
I mean, we can't even keep a white T-shirt clean.
I am familiar with it.
I mean,
brushing
our teeth causes stains.
I know.
So what do you think is going to go on down there?
We got
two potential hazards.
Yeah.
I mean, and then, you know, then if you're with somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, somebody might take a peek. You try to flick it off your leg and throw it across the room.
Far as you can.
Right. But no, I mean, tidy whiteys. You know what? Tidy whiteys is a 70s thing.
I guess.
I bet Joe's tidy whiteys.
Unless.
He seems very basic.
Yeah. Well, he's a basic dresser. You know what I mean? Like, you know, just wears the man uniform. You know what I mean? Like,
what am I wearing right now?
You're wearing a man uniform too, but
which is
a
t-shirt and
uniform.
Which
you know?
Is a t-shirt and shorts.
Yeah, that's a man uniform.
I'll tell you what, I am rocking this bar t-shirt that I am wearing. I am rocking it hard.
It's navy.
I am wearing the navy well.
I mean, women have like quite a variety in clothes, yeah. But there's guys who will wear things that are flamboyant.
I wear flamboyant stuff sometimes.
Yeah, you do sometimes.
Like I still get busted balls if I'm wearing like a pink tie. Like, really? We still doing that?
Really? That?
Yeah. Like, I've had my balls busted for wearing a pink tie. I was like, really? You know what? Okay. You guys got to get over.
That's incredibly lame.
Yeah,
that's
incredibly
lame.
And it happens quite frequently.
Oh, no. I like...
And I'm like, I'm just being my best self.
I like it when guys wear, like, bright colors and they're not ashamed, you know? Like
oh, I can pull it off when I'm really tan.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm not really tan that often anymore, so no.
Oh, but that's kind of a summer versus winter skin.
Yeah, dark guys can wear, like, really bright colors.
Yeah, yeah. Like darker skin can wear a good pink, coral, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, any guy wearing a purple button-down shirt with a tie, I think that's hot.
I got a purple button-down shirt.
Yeah.
I'm buying some of the different colors. I'm spicing it up. I'm definitely more open to different clothes now.
Yeah, I think.
Some guys
get into this homophobic that, you know, if you wear any quote-unquote girl colors, oh, what are you, a fag?
I should be so lucky if a man wanted to hit this.
Yeah. Truly.
Exactly.
You know?
I should be that sexy.
I as a general rule, gays have better taste.
I don't know about that. There's some ugly gay people.
Oh, of course there are. Yeah. There's ugly straight
people, too. But if an attractive gay
too.
Guy wants to hit this, I should be so fortunate.
You should be flattered.
I should. I mean, he's not going to hit this.
But
thank you, no.
But yes, but that because you're a little bear.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
Why?
I don't want to be a bear.
Well, you're more a little bear than a twink.
I'm a cub.
You're a cub.
I don't want to be be a cub.
Sorry. In gay world, you would be a cub.
Well, I'm not in gay world.
No, you're not. But I'm just saying.
In straight world, I'm barely half a man as it is. So
no, that's... Oh, stop. It has nothing to do... It's just that, you, like, bears typically are really big, imposing guys. Like, it usually means, like, taller and heavier.
I'm a
you
cub.
Know? But you so...
But why can't I be a pretty gay guy?
But you're just not that type.
No,
you know? Like, the
not.
Angular, skinny, taller, you know? Like, those, you know... A yeah. swimmer's body.
Yeah, no,
you know?
Yeah, the shit chicks like too. I'm not that either.
You're not.
Who's this?
What is this?
Who's this?
That can't be. Is this?
Get the fuck out of here!
What?
Curry's here.
Maybe Joe before, Curry is
maybe,
here.
7:30.
I'm. Wait. What?
Go outside and drive around the block. I don't believe.
Oh my
this.
God! I'm terrified. What is wrong?
Well, you should be when Joe's
What's
here.
What's wrong? Why are you here? This
Hi,
early?
Joe. Who?
Hi,
who
Joe?
Died? Why are you in the area?
Why are you here?
No, the day program, we closed early because there's primarily Jewish.
No, then why aren't you here on time?
Huh?
Then why aren't you here on time?
Because we closed. We didn't close. We closed at like 4:30.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Oh, no, please be thrilled. Joe's here.
It's still right. Joe. I mean, I'm happy, but it's still Joe.
There should be confetti all over.
Probably shooting at your ass. Tidy Whitey's boxer briefs or boxers?
Boxer briefs.
Really?
All right. Wow. All right. See, look at this.
It's got to be Joe's girl's work.
No, it's my work. I don't like boxes because my balls swing around like bells on an ice cream truck. Tidy Whiteys are too fucking tight. You know, the boxer briefs are just right.
So we were just talking about what our creep friend did. She bought her her brother Tidy Whitey underwear.
Really?
But exactly.
He See, was he was in the hospital, man. He needed underwear.
Doesn't mean your balls have to be strangled with tight garments.
It was what he was wearing.
Hi, Joe. Good to have you in the first hour. I he never would have come up with that one.
Your
yeah. He deserved balls being strangled.
I like my balls to do the strangling. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So Pip has a little tchotchke area at her, the day program where she can now unload all of the crap she doesn't want, and she will be bringing in the underwear that she bought a size too small.
It's in the package.
Well, I hope not.
No. The package was not in it.
You're bringing it to the day program?
Yeah.
Why are you going to bring drawers to the day program?
Because no one will know I brought them. Because it's a table where you put stuff that you don't want anymore that's like either gently used or brand new that you just don't end up needing. You put it on the table and it goes away.
What, do you work at Sanford & Son?
Yeah, kind of. No, it's...
Hey, dummy, who brought in these tidy whities? I don't know.
It was during a moment of crisis, and it escaped my notice that I had still had them.
I'm guessing so. He is a size 42 waist.
I don't have, I didn't, you know what? I haven't looked in a long time. I have no idea.
This wasn't that long ago.
Oh, no, it was.
So why don't you just exchange them for him and get them the
right They're not open. You have the receipt?
No.
Yeah, but the
snow
sheet. But I mean, at the time,
if you bought it at Kohl's, Christ, you could bring anything back that fucking place.
You get $20 in Kohl's cash back.
Right. Yeah, I think I bought a Kmart.
You know, I used to be able to get underwear at ShopRite in Pathmark.
Yeah, yeah, you can still.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
They got an underwear aisle, sure.
They don't.
I feel like I had ShopRite underwear as a kid. I won't have ShopRite underwear as an adult.
No.
No, they have adult ShopRite underwear.
But I won't have them.
No. They're not, like, inferior, although they might...
Really? You don't think so? You don't think the same place where I buy plums is
Well, that's where you put yours.
Yeah, I'm
shut down. I do that for you guys. That's
you.
What happens in the first hour, Joe. I set up the comedy.
That's funny. You know what's nice? A new pair of socks. You
put That's yeah. nice for me! I feel a little worn out! Well, a little crusty!
Well, Chizzy, you might want to pack your shit and get a resume happening. Because there's nothing like new socks.
Yeah.
You on your feet.
You'll come back and come in!
Yeah, no, it's true.
All I'm asking for is a bath once in a while. A little detergent, maybe Snuggly the Bear. Nothing!
Let me tell you something. Yesterday at the day program, somebody, she was putting Greek yogurt into the refrigerator, and it just hit, and Greek yogurt was all over the refrigerator and the floor. It looked like the thing was in a porn scene.
Oh, my God. Flashback
to that girl's thigh.
Oh, my God. Poor refrigerator. Yeah. Didn't ask for that. Yes. Didn't ask for that.
So, all right, so you're bringing in the underwear, Pip?
Yeah, I think so. I
don't think so. I don't think that's good. I think it's a little too intimate for the workplace swap and shop.
Yeah,
they won't know who it came
from. It doesn't
from.
Matter.
Are you going to go in there with a mask and a hat and just drop them there? Well, it's the mask underwear dropper.
Well, I get in there early, so I just like sneak in there, drop it on the table, and I run. I don't want people to know it's my crap. But you know what was really funny is that I got a book from my brother and sister-in-law. Was it last Christmas or the Christmas before? And it was just like something that was completely out of my interest. And it's a really big book. And I was just like, I'm never, ever going to read this. So I brought it to work. I put it on the crap exchange and it disappeared. And I was so happy. I'm like, oh, wow, somebody's going to read
this. They'll take anything. Yeah, bring them drawers in.
No. You know what happened?
They brought it back.
It came back. It came back.
It's not a fucking library.
It was like a lending library. Like a week later, it came back.
What was the book about?
Balanchine? I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. He's a choreographer for dancing. I'm like, look at me.
Somebody got that shit at the bargain bin.
I'm not sure, but it was
somebody did not get you anything. They don't care about you. Whoever gave you that doesn't like you. No, seriously.
They've bought me books that were just like sort of like, you know, grabbing the sky and
well, this one was one
and
of
I
them.
Liked them, you know.
Right, but they don't know you?
Not as well as I thought, because I was like, wow.
The last, and you're going to like this story, one of the few things that I was given that I was like, what the hell is this?
A piece of her mind?
No, but I was Low Spark or High Heel Boys. My friend gave it to me for my birthday, and I'm like,
how long ago?
Oh, I mean, Christ, we're talking about 1978.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, what? I really help. Well, thank you. I brought home one of the best albums. That one of the best albums ever made.
It really is.
One of the best.
Was
albums
that a Wynwood album?
No, it's called Traffic. Traffic.
Same Which thing. Wynwood was in? Yeah, same thing. I had a really weird dream last night. I dreamt that I went to a really small club and I was watching Wynwood play, mm-hmm. and he wasn't playing with any of his normal band, just guys I never saw before, and they were kind of mediocre, and he was drunk off his ass or high, and he was like smoking a cigarette and playing this really sloppy guitar, and I was like, what the, and I looked at my friend Jennifer, who was there with me, and we're both looking like, what is going on? And then, like, little by little, the band just like wandered off and left him there alone.
He sucks, Wynwood.
And he was on his back playing guitar on his back and by himself, like half under the piano. And then I said to my friend, "This, I must be having a dream, because this would never happen." And then my alarm went off and I woke up and I was like,
and it was all a dream.
Thank God. Well, but I'm like, what the hell?
I had a dream last night that I bought a new Corvette. The mid-engine Chevy came out with a new mid-engine Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought this fire engine red, great looking Corvette. So I go up to pick the Corvette up.
Right.
And two guys I work with at the day program are there that are selling me the Corvette. And they're like, look, there's a problem with a crack in the frame. You could take the car, but if there's a crack in the frame, they're not going to guarantee it. I go, but it's a new car. They're going to guarantee it. No. Because I told you. Now that you have to sign off, and if it cracks, it's not under warranty. I go, well, I don't want this car. I'll wait to get another one. It could be about a year. I go, I'll wait.
Yeah.
The whole night, I'm going through the dream going, I can't afford a Corvette. I can barely afford the CRV. How am I going to afford a Corvette? What the fuck am I doing? I go, but you know, I'm 57. What am I going to take care of myself? Blah, blah. And through the whole night, I'm like trying to sweat. How am I going to pay for this Corvette? Woke up this morning going, I don't, oh, shit. Okay. I woke up going, holy cow. God, that was a problem. Yeah.
I know. Isn't that weird when you create a problem in your dream and you wake up and you're so relieved?
I gotta tell you, your dream life might be more pathetic than your real life. And that is saying something. Those are two of the worst fucking dreams.
What, an off night with a rock icon and me buying a car that might be a problem's a
problem? No, you're panicking because you're worrying about finances.
I'm not even talking about it in my dream. Two minutes into me being awake, I'm like, I don't know. Oh, shit. I'm still freaking out.
It's a dream with a Corvette and you're worried about finances. In a dream, it's not like I'm in the front row and we're having a great time.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We hung out for some drinks. Rules. We hooked up. No, he sucks. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Your dreams are pathetic.
Meanwhile, I get a bed. It's cool.
You guys are the ones that would have a sex dream and most people finish when they come. No. You'd wait for the sexually transmitted disease to show itself. That's how you guys dream. That was a good time. Why do my balls itch?
Yeah. No. I would have dreams like, can't get the pants down. Can't get them down. Can't get them down. Can't get them down. Oh, yeah. So frustrating.
My dick dribbled up like beef jerky. What am I going to do now?
Yeah.
Aesthetic dreams.
Yeah, no, and somebody, a friend, oh, I haven't, a couple, actually, he's a friend of a friend, I haven't talked to in a while. He said that it's a stress dream because I'm not enjoying something I usually enjoy in my life. And now I, like, normally a Winwood concert would be great. And so even in my dream, I turned my favorite things to shit.
Could be.
Well, I tell you, yeah. I wish I was awake last night. I wrote about it on Facebook. I got home last night, and I chill out, and I go to make my I make my regular dinner, but I want to make some hardball, some eggs, you know, for lunch and stuff like that. So I wake up this morning and go, I can't pay for this Corvette. How the fuck am I going to pay? And I'm like, I got to make lunch. I go, I'll make those eggs. I go, uh-oh. I'm like, oh, shit, I don't think I turned it on. All the water's been boiled away. The egg, luckily, was a low flame. I had a low flame. Oh. So the eggs, and there's like this big burnt spot on each egg, and I opened it up, but they were still good, and it was like they weren't cooked. So I crunched them all up, and I made egg salad out of them.
The pot must have been burnt dry.
But it wasn't burnt. It wasn't burnt scour dry. I mean, there was been worse. I mean, when we were kids,
I'll bet.
Joe Cumier, we get back to his, you know, his apartment, his parent mother's house, and we were all like stoned and drunk and stuff like that. Joe decides he's going to make some cream spinach or something. He puts the boil in the bag,
right?
Throws it in there. All of a sudden, like 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up. There's smoke in the house. It's like, holy shit! Go in the kitchen. It's burnt. The plastic, the water's gone. Burnt over the pot. You're never going to use that pot again.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, I saw
you could have woke up dead.
That's one of my favorite expressions.
Yeah, you could have woke up dead.
I saw your Facebook post, and I said to my new work wife, I go, my friend nearly hard-boiled himself. He was hard-boiled eggs and fell asleep. And she said, oh, there was one time when she and her roommate went out drinking, and they came back, and she said she liked to, after a night of drinking, which is like kind of buzz, she'd like to take a warm shower, bath. She was just like, it just felt nice. And she goes, and then I realized I was sinking below the water and I almost drowned myself. I'm like, that's the end of the warm baths for me.
Oh, I thought she might have set up the bathtub, left the water on, and fell asleep, and I woke up to the engine room of the Titanic.
No.
Because that could happen.
Yeah, but she almost slid below the water. She was like, oh, okay, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. And her friend was cooking something and burnt something really badly, and she's like, okay, you're not allowed to make that. I'm not allowed to take baths. Those are the rules when we come home drunk.
Well, there was one time I came home so tired, I left my car door open, and I left I think my front door open or whatever. Oh. And a guy, my neighbor, bangs on my door and goes, it had to be about 11 o'clock at night. He goes, hey, I'm sorry, you know, you have your car door open and your garage door is open. And I knock, he knocks on the door, oh, shut it down, because I don't know what it is. And I was like, hi, can I go? Yeah, your door is open. So, oh, thank you very much. So I'm saying to myself, I go, should I introduce myself? And I go, well, he's my neighbor. I'll wait till I look less like an asshole to
do
it.
Never got to introduce yourself.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
You didn't, did you?
Not yet, no.
Exactly so.
That's hilarious.
So you tried to mock me with the laugh, but I was right.
No, because I've been busy. It's not like I've been, you know, I'm still an asshole. Well, last night I was.
So I rest my case.
You almost hard-boiled yourself.
Yeah, like you want to be all indignant about it, but I'm right.
Well, aren't you the fucking Perry Mason of falling asleep and doing stupid shit?
I missed the first segment with 70s and 80s TV show references. We don't get this without Joe. It's nice to get the time warp an hour early.
Did you ever come home, a little buzz, and almost burn down the house or do something like that?
No, if I'm going like to fall asleep in a wrong place, I'm going to do a fucking driving like a man. you know, coming back from a gig, I'll be fucking exhausted, doze off, but you know.
Oh, really? Do that like head bob?
Open up the window, slap your face around.
Yes,
you know those,
yes,
you know those
there.
Bumps on the side of the road? I call that the comedian's alarm clock.
Oh my God! Yeah,
yeah. I was, you know, I was getting back 2:30 in the morning this week from gigs.
Oof. Yeah, Mr. Helix and I used to go up to Cape Cod, and we would like he'd come home from work, and then it, you know, for some reason it just took us forever to get together, and then we would be driving up there at God o'clock at night, and I would take a shift driving, and I would be almost.
I thought you said
asleep.
Took a shit driving. That messy.
That's happened to
no, and so I would be.
That's why you need an extra pair of your tidy whiteies.
That's right. They keep them in the car.
Sure. Roll up nice.
I would be slapping myself and rolling down the window and trying anything to stay awake. And then the same thing, we'd go at some ridiculous hour driving back. And I remember being on the Tappan Zee Bridge and going, I am not going to be able to keep my eyes open for 10 more minutes. I had more than 10 minutes to go, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that anymore.
Oh, let me tell you something. I was coming home not last week's show, the week before, and I had to pull over twice. I was beyond exhausted.
Oh.
Beyond exhausted. Did you do the, just out of curiosity, you do that gig this weekend as a turnaround?
Comedy Works?
Yeah.
Does he offer a hotel?
No.
Then how do you think I did it?
Okay, I'm just here. I do it. I think you're just farther than me from it.
It's a 2-plus-hour drive.
Right, around the same.
That's what a turnaround is. You go there and you come back.
2 hours, 15 minutes each way.
That's a long ass time to drive.
Shit.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
You do it though. Yep.
Quite familiar. So, well, speaking of the comedy, so I was watching the host. He's a headliner, actually, a very funny comic. But he was doing something, and it got me to thinking. He was like talking about like the woman's breasts in the front row and go, oh, motor, blah, 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 all that stuff and everything.
Right.
And it's very funny, and I've done stuff like that. I've not even that long ago, probably within the past couple months.
Yeah.
Like a big-breasted woman will start laughing. I go, oh, listen, I don't care about you people. I'm enjoying her boobs. And it always gets a big laugh.
Yeah.
But for the first time I was thinking, I'm like, huh, maybe we shouldn't do that anymore. Maybe somebody's going to complain. Maybe we're objectifying women. Maybe we got to raise, like, and it never occurred to me that this was wrong, and it's something I've done, and he's obviously done, and countless other comics have done. I could see it leading to problems. It didn't. Everybody laughed. There was no problems.
It could potentially. It depends. I mean, you can usually read the people in the audience and who's, you know, out there to have a good time and who's.
Yeah, but
that's
usually a quick hitter. You're not doing 10 minutes on boobs.
Yeah,
no.
But you know, if you
hit
it and it you know, either the bit goes or it doesn't go. You know, you throw the bit and the bit.
No, but I'm like, are we getting to the point where an audience could turn on that? I could see an audience turning on that. We're not there yet. But well, maybe with some of the stuff we're talking about later on, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not a good idea because we're objective. If you think about it, it's really cheap comedy. It's really the wrong way to do it. I've done it for years.
Yeah.
We're objectifying women.
Yes, but I mean. I don't think
we should do it anymore.
It depends.
I wouldn't do it at a women's club.
No, but it depends on the situation. It depends on the night. Depends on the audience. You know, you can make.
Yeah, well, you don't know when you go into that. You don't go, well, these people look like they're going to bitch. We never know that.
Yeah, but you know what? If you look out at the audience and you're making, like, you know, jokes about the age of, like, people who obviously have white hair, they might be upset about it, but it's an obvious thing. You see a bald head, you're making fun of that guy's bald head.
Right, but
it's you
not
see
sexual.
Boobs.
You're not sexual. We're sexualized. How long until somebody gets triggered or me too or you're not valuing me? It's not that much of a stretch. And again, I've never thought about this before, and I'm not saying the comic was wrong to do it because I've done it recently. But it was the first time I watched and go, maybe we shouldn't do that. And he got a big laugh. So they didn't turn on him.
If you're at a business breakfast, I would say not
no, but
bringing
in the club,
up.
People bitch.
Here's the deal. In that club, in that venue, with the, you know, in that area, that bit, you know, would work. If you're in the city, you might not want to, you know, in certain clubs, you might not want to do that. You know, or if you're doing a restaurant, you might not want to do that. You got to, you know, call the moment on that.
Yeah.
I think people can bitch at any place, any time.
Well, you know what I'm starting to know? I made an observation this weekend. My band was playing at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn. And in their other room, they were having a comedy show. Now, I'm in Brooklyn. I mean, at the epicenter of the hipster area in Brooklyn, in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Your people.
and they're having the, you know, the comedy show with all the hipster comics.
Do you wear
stuff
your
like
MAGA
that.
Hat just to fucking scare them?
I laugh about that. Now, with me.
No, you just want to get beaten up.
With me,
they're hipsters. It's good to have a lot of them.
Oh, well, now, we'll get kicked a lot.
With me in attendance is my friend Big A.
We know Big A.
So Big A was with me. Came to take pictures of the band, hang out. So we go in and we go in to get a drink. But the hipster comedy show is there. So I told him, I go, we're going to do an exercise. I'm a comedian. You are around comics all the time, week long. I go, I want to time how long it takes to get to any semblance of a punchline.
Yeah, but you're going in not to laugh.
Hear me out.
You're going.
No,
in.
That is not true. That is. Well,
but that
not
with the premise of that whole thing is absolutely true.
Hear me out. Funny is funny. Okay.
Yeah, but you already think it's not going to be funny.
No, but you were wrong. And I'll tell. Let me do a quick side story. There was a guy, Hawk Comedy Club. There was a guy that was there that he did not really like me. I couldn't stand the son of a bitch. Okay. He goes up to do his set. And I hate this fucking guy. Goes up to do his set. Laugh my ass off because funny is funny.
Yeah.
I was planning on this guy bombing. Funny is funny. I laugh my ass off.
Bomb. He's one of the favorites.
But what I'm saying. But no. It's not like they were laughing and I was. I was laughing. He had good stuff.
Yeah, he's funny.
So I'm not going. Right. Funny is funny. I am not going into this thinking it's, you know, funny. If you're making me laugh, you're making me laugh.
Yep.
So it took about 3 minutes on the average for any of these guys to get to a punchline or any semblance.
That's forever. A really long time.
We timed it. Now,
was the audience laughing before 3 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, then that's playing to their crowd.
Right, they're playing to their crowd. And here's the whole thing I am finding about the hipster type of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're accepting. They're understanding.
What pricks?
Okay, but you can tell a story like that, and we're all in it together, and we're
yeah.
there. Okay, it's different than the
that
lady.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, but it's different than the lady in East Meadow that went to governors who wants to laugh and chop chop.
I gotta tell you, when you describe it like that, I'd rather perform in front of the hipster audience because I could take more chances.
Yes.
I could do more things. I can expound upon things. I can actually get into stories.
But here's the deal.
As opposed to East Meadow, I gotta make that broad laugh in 10 seconds.
Right, but so what I'm noticing is that you had the Asian, and I'm not being discriminatory, okay? You had the Asian person. You had the African-American girl. Hi, everyone. Hi. You had the gay Jewish guy. You had all these guys.
They're not the Avengers, Joe. They're just people.
But what I'm...
Is Storm there?
But no. But what I'm saying, and obviously I get where we are, and that's fine.
Where we are, America.
But what I'm saying is that hipster comedy, from what I'm finding, is starting to be a character of itself.
Yeah,
where it's getting to be cliche of what goes on. So much so is where you see the '80s comic with the guy with the tie and the jacket and the sneakers in front of a brick wall.
Yes, yes.
And I'm looking. I'm like, I go. I wonder if this is going to play itself out.
Everything
when the
does.
Next generation
sure.
comes up.
Sure.
And like I said, I go. This is, you know, and also what I had is like these comics. Also, like with Anthony Cumi, like he's doing a couple of the clubs in Brooklyn, he'll hang out and stuff like that. And they don't want him in the place because he's not a nice man and blah, 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 blah. And these guys, I thought
you said they were tolerant.
Well, they're not because they're hypocrites, all of them. You know, so.
I'll hang out with Anthony even though he's not a nice man.
Yeah. But like I said.
I've done so.
I know.
Not a nice man. I'll hang out with him.
Some clubs, some of these new comics that are all these hipsters and woke comics, if he's hanging out at the club, you have a problem with it. What's he doing here?
You've seen that?
Anthony's told a story on his show.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that even though that this it's this just one group of comedy where I'm saying we're going to change the world. I go, no, I think guys are becoming a character of yourself.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. A lot of comics do get into change the world. I know you don't think so. But, I mean, a lot of comics, they can impact things and everything.
George Carlin.
What you described, I don't have a problem with that audience, and I don't have a problem with those comics having an attitude. Now, I would have a problem if they're not funny.
Yes.
But that would be it. I have a problem with them not accepting Anthony or anybody else. Whatever. If you're going to be accepting, be accepting. But I like the fact that an audience will give me a chance.
To build to the story.
But I get a funny feeling they'll give you a chance if they're one of their own. And by I mean one of their
own. Yeah, but that's always clicks. That's always clicks. I go to Long Island, it's the same thing. Unless I'm walking in with you, you know, if they don't know me, it could be a click. Come to Jersey. If you didn't know me.
Not the comics with not a comic click. The audience. If I went up, I'll give you an example. If I went up there. And I'm just saying, let's say I had, you know, and like I said, my material probably, I guarantee would not go there. But if I had an act that, you know, that was, you know, sensitive in that way,
I don't know,
as a, you know, middle-aged white male, I wonder if they would be on board with me from the beginning.
Dude, you're selling yourself out. I told the story a couple months ago. I went into Harlem and laid it down where I was like the only white guy in there. If what you're selling is funny and you believe in yourself, there's a chance it's going to work. Don't say it's not going to work because they're not like you. They might fucking love you because they don't see a lot of comics like you.
Yeah.
They might love you because you have the balls to go in a place that's uncomfortable for you and do it. Don't sell them short. Don't sell yourself short.
No, I'm not selling them short. I'm not selling them. I get a funny feel because basically they're very judgmental.
Everybody's judgmental. You don't think Trump supporters are judgmental? And the comedy clubs, everybody's judgmental.
Oh yeah.
Everybody.
I think them more so. And
I don't know, man. I haven't experienced. I mean, I haven't been to. I haven't been to Brooklyn. And listen, you can always run into a rough audience. But you, I think you're making an unfair judgment unless you go up there several times in various venues of that. Like if you go to a bunch of different venues in that area or different area or places like that, and go, listen, my stuff just isn't working, I'm not connected. Then we can have a conversation. I feel, and I think you should do that. I feel like you're, I feel like you're judging them. You're calling them judgmental. You're judging them. If the shit's funny, your stuff is funny, it could work. You know.
Yeah, I don't think that it's necessarily that you have to be the same type as the person who's performing to enjoy them.
Listen, if you're talking about how you banged this woman and you came on her leg, they might not like that there. but I mean,
check one of the CD. Huh?
But if you're talking, but if you're talking about your life and what it was like with you growing up, there's no reason why they wouldn't like that. Because you even talk about in your act, you acknowledge it's different than what's going on now. Mm-hmm. So you're judging them because you're assuming they're going to judge you.
Yeah, like if you come out being like, oh yeah, you kale eating motherfuckers. Well, now
if you come out like stupid
Sebastian
Maniscalco at the MTV VMA, if you come out with that attitude, then you're gonna eat your ass and you deserve it. But if you're gonna come out there that I'm funny and these people want to laugh and I'm gonna do my thing and they're gonna enjoy me and we're gonna have a great moment, you'll probably do well.
Yeah,
there was no edge to anything in there.
What edge? What do you need? I mean, Seinfeld wasn't edgy. Not everybody's edgy. What edge do you want?
What edge do you want?
You're not edgy. You're not edgy. You're funny. You're not edgy.
I could be edgy.
When can you be edgy? You won't even go in there and do the fucking act you do now. That would be edgy in your mind. Doing the stuff you do in a hostile environment would be edgy. You're not edgy. You even tell me you pull punches when, you know, you don't know if it's going to be your type of crowd.
Well, a regular crowd, yeah. But, I mean, in that night, no, in that night.
You're not edgy. You're funny.
When have you
ever been edgy? And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing. It's not a critique or an evaluation of you, but you're talking about edgy. You're not an edgy act. You're a mainstream act. You're funny. You have a lot of joke. You have a lot of laughs per minute. You're a very good act. You're not edgy. You talk about what it was like growing up, just like a lot of other white male comics do. And it's funny. It's not edgy, though. I wouldn't even say I'm that edgy. I mean, I certainly have a lot more thoughts that I want to talk about with the thing, with the subject. The subject matter I talk about is edgy.
Mm.
In Canada, they consider me edgy.
They do?
Yes. When I was up in Canada, like, oh, we got to get him for the dark show. I'm like, really? And that was before I was as dark as I am now. That was several years ago. But no, there's guys way edgier than me. It really depends what you're comparing to. I mean, maybe those guys, maybe you're edgy compared to the comics you saw on that stage. But I mean, you know, you're not espousing the virtues of cancer up there. That's fucking edgy.
But if there's something like Mike called in last week talking about Greta Thunberg. I did a joke about her. At Governor's,
it in front of the kids at the Knitting Factory.
I could, you know.
Yeah, that's where you do the joke. You want to be edgy. See what happens. Yeah, I know, you know, it's a lot of, judging by the comics, it seems to be a lot of right-wing people out there. What was the joke? That good.
I forgot how I worded it, because it was like the day after, but I also said, I go, and she scares the shit out of me. I go, I'm having nightmares about her. I wake up, there she is at the window. You're getting recycled. You know, so.
That's not edgy. It's funny. It's not edgy. Why is it edgy? Because
you can't say shit about this fucking brainwashed kid. That's why.
She's not brainwashed.
I think are you fucking out of your mind?
Were you brainwashed at 16?
No, but did I have parents that were actors that fed her lines that you could tell that was so overly rehearsed and so overly dramatic?
You know,
with two actors.
You know, it's her second language, and she's on the
But you can't see that. I can't believe you can't see that. You can't see that. You honestly can't see that. No, I can't. Okay.
She's all fucking fired up.
Sheep.
Okay. And what do you like? The fact that she likes science? Does that bother you?
The fact that she is brainwashed.
But how do you know
parents.
That? How do you know that?
Did you know, but no 16-year-old. I now remember the joke. I go, no 16-year-old girl talks like that. You've ruined my childhood. The only time a 16-year-old girl would ever say that is when you take their phone. That's the only time.
Oh, that's a funny joke.
Okay. But still, she has been coached and brainwashed by her parents. You could tell that in her speech. The background on her parents are they're both in theatrics, and they both brainwashed this kid. It's child abuse.
Liberals.
I'm sorry.
So it's not child abuse when they bring when they had those dancing little 10-year-old cheerleaders at a Trump rally? Was that child abuse? Their brainwashed. Was it child abuse, Joe?
I don't know, but they weren't. They didn't have Asperger's, did they?
That's not child abuse.
No, but that's taking some advantage of somebody.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. Liberals.
No, wait.
How are you liberals all you liberals. Want, Joe? This is how we know Joe doesn't have an argument.
I know.
He's not on his Facebook page now.
No,
but wait.
No, it's not, because you're both wrong and you're both not seeing the obvious. And liberals are like that. They don't see the obvious.
We're not the one who voted for a con man.
No. And you're not the one that voted for some shrill that was out that was a carpetbagger and could care less about the country and only yourself.
Not a con man. Anyway, who had a history of being a con man before this?
And still is.
It still is. Yeah. No. I mean, you look at his history. I mean, it's pretty hard.
And I'm sorry, not like the crystal clear history that Hillary had.
Hillary's done. We're not talking about Hillary.
Yeah,
yet.
But that was the person that it was against, and it was either or. So if you're going to bring up the fact of that, you would have to bring up the fact that what you would have.
And now
in
you
there
can evolve.
Okay.
Now you can evolve. And there was a third choice. There was a third party candidate, a libertarian.
Yeah.
You could have gone.
Oh, yeah, but they want, like, the rules that
they would
have
do crazy
on Mars.
Things like leave our allies to hang out the drive.
I know, and we need to, you know, let's invite people in Mars to live and stuff like that.
What?
They're all libertarians. They got good ideas. So
Trump's the one with the Space Force. What are you talking about? Yeah. He's the one that wants to send people to Mars, which is fine, I guess, if we can do it. But I would not do it tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
What the hell is that?
I don't.
That's Mars.
Mars was called. We don't want you.
They said, fuck you.
We don't want any of you people.
It's the phone.
Listen to you.
Imagine if we fought crime.
Oh no! You know what? Criminals would be taking over the world because we'd be stopping, going, "What are you talking about? He's not over there." We'd stop to argue too often.
Oh yeah. Oh God Almighty! It's a mugging. I'm gonna go over there. Tell me what to do. I know how to handle a gun.
All right, since you brought up Trump, so you like the way he's hanging out the curds to dry?
Basically, the way they're doing that is he used the whole the phrasing is totally wrong on that. He is reassigning some troops in the area. It's not a total pullout.
Well, that's not what they say. So they're pulling out, and Turkey's ready to move in.
That's incorrect.
Well, apparently Lindsey Graham and everybody else in the Republican Party got it wrong. Only his unmatched wisdom and you apparently understand.
Well, that will remain to be seen, and we'll find out what happens. But basically,
yeah, it's not something I want to find out.
It's not a whole total troop movement. It's not a whole troop movement. There was a small reassignment. The way he phrased it was wrong, but was actually going on is not a total withdrawal.
Where have you gotten that from? Because I haven't seen that.
The news.
What news?
The news on.
Look that up for me.
Yeah.
Please.
Look on the statistics on that.
The statistics.
We don't have statistics.
The statistics. Look on the background.
We don't have a lot of people there as it is.
Yeah.
You guys assign me these. Okay, now I want you to do a thesis.
No, pull out in Syria. Pull out in Syria. Because I haven't seen. Because they're showing videos of them pulling out, and Trump was all happy about it, and nobody in the military is happy about it. Mm. You know, the person who's happy about it is Rand Paul. So, you know, if Rand Paul's happy, you should be fucking concerned. That's always my first clue. When Rand Paul's happy, go, all right, what's wrong with this? But, yeah, even the Republicans aren't happy about leaving our allies to hang out to dry. And the Kurds are our allies. Well, and other administrations have screwed the Kurds, too. Well, Kurds have been screwed for a long time.
But, yes, they have. Let's see.
It's not just a Trump thing. Although this is probably the biggest screwing. But it's not just a President Trump thing.
Okay, let's see. I'm looking for reassignment. I'm
probably finding gender reassignment.
No.
I'm with tits. That's not helping us.
No, I'm
send
I'm,
all the transgender soldiers to the Kurds.
The first I said troop pullout or reassignment in Syria. Lindsey Graham calls Trump's troop pullout in Syria a stain on America's honor. Then the next one is Donald Trump defends Syria policy, says U.S. is not pulling troops out of Syria with his great. It's not.
Oh, is that the tweet?
But a reassignment. That's USA Today.
All right.
Is saying that it's not a pulling out, but it's a reassignment.
But if they're not there to protect the Kurds, who the fuck cares? That's the whole point. The reason, though, first of all, the Kurds lost 11,000 people. We lost zero because the Kurds did most of the fighting for us, and we had special forces to train them and supply them and, you know, help them with logistics and everything and coal and air support. But they lost 11,000 men and women. We lost zero. But the Turks, I'm just giving a little background that people don't know. The Turks consider the Kurds a terrorist group. The Turks are our NATO ally, although they're not our friend. The Kurds, they don't have a country, but and so they're not really technically an ally, but they are our friends. When we go to fight in the Middle East, the Kurds are always with us.
Yeah.
So our enemies and our allies and friends are looking at how we handle this, and if we pull out and let the Turks come in and massacre the Kurds, it's over. We've let our friends die, and nobody's coming to war with us again.
Yeah, we'll really like help in destabilizing the
area, especially in the Middle East, where they don't trust us as it is. You know, because first of all, our relationship with Israel they don't like. They just saw what happened with Saudi Arabia, who I don't like at all. But Iran attacked their oil fields and you know, what was it, like knocked off like 10% of the oil or something? A large amount.
Yeah, a large amount. I don't know the statistics.
And we didn't do anything. Now, I'm not saying Trump was right or wrong to do something, whether he should have done something or not. I don't have that information. But they are seeing that our ally was attacked. And we didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's scaring people.
Right. So, I mean, this is just it's complicated. But the one thing everybody
agrees. That's the complicated thing where you kind of try to, you know, keep the Turks in a certain situation.
No, the Turks are guarding ISIS prisoners right now. The reason a lot of those fighters got in to Syria was through Turkey. Turkey let them in. Turkey is our NATO ally. They are not our friend. So everybody seems to know this, but President Trump, who got off the phone with Erdogan, and that's what everybody says, the last one in the room with Trump is the one who gets the opinion. And we've already seen our military leaving. You got to protect the Kurds. And when he sends out a tweet with my unmatched wisdom, kill yourself.
Well, that was wrong. I mean, that was wrong.
That's just Monday.
My unmatched wisdom. Oh, boy.
I will obliterate the economy. I've done it before. What are you going to build, fucking casinos? Like it's Atlantic City? What are you going to do, asshole? You obliterated their economy. What are you even talking about? Nobody wants the Republicans, the Democrats, our allies, our real friends, England, Australia, Canada, Israel. Nobody wants us leaving the Kurds to hang out to dry. One guy did it.
So one of those guys send their troops in.
Listen, man. We trained them. I mean, they have troops there.
So, if Canada and Canada has troops there?
I don't know if they're stationed there, but I know they have in Syria.
And does England have troops there?
You could look at the deployment.
The point is, if they're that concerned, then they could bring their troops in.
Then you'll be happy when ISIS is back here doing shit here in the States again.
No.
If Lindsey Graham is – Lindsey Graham had to remove Donald Trump's cock from his mouth to criticize. Do you understand how hard it was between golf balls and testicles and Donald Trump testicles for Lindsey Graham to muster up the spine to go against his boyfriend, Donald Trump? You understand? I mean, John McCain's rolling in. I hit that first. I mean, for Mitch McConnell to come out of his shell and see that—I mean, these guys have been supporting. They wiped Trump's ass.
Yeah,
they lick his taint and go, "Thank you, sir. May I lick again? How many licks does it take to get to the center of your asshole?" That's how far up the ass these guys are. Even they don't want it. When your only ally is Rand Hairpiece Paul, who got his ass kicked by his neighbor, it's time to fucking reevaluate. That's all I have to say about that. I did see something funny, though. I went to Burger King to get the Impossible Whopper. Have you guys tried the Impossible Whopper?
No, I tried the tacos, though, which rule.
Oh, I have
the
to
Burger
try
King
that.
Tacos rule?
They rule. They like Jack in the Box tacos.
Oh, wow.
Remember Jack in the Box? Disgusting.
They were good.
To the ninth degree. One of the best foods on earth.
Yeah.
And they'll like the old Jack in the Box.
You're not exactly a connoisseur. I don't know about that. You're the only one who have heard say anything good about Burger King tacos.
I don't know.
Have you ever had Jack in the Box tacos?
I've never eaten in Jack in the Box.
Okay, so you don't know the experience. You don't know.
I've had authentic tacos from Mexico.
No. I'm not talking about authentic tacos from Mexico.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about Jack in the Box tacos. That's not authentic.
What that?
Fast food tacos.
It's greasy and disgusting and one of the most wonderful foods on earth.
Aren't you supposed to be watching what you eat?
I'm not there every day with a wheelbarrow.
Well, between your hard-boiled eggs and
there was a fucking wheelbarrow picking them up. I wish I could. But no, we went there. Joe's girl and I went there to get some because we
You know how to show a girl a good time.
No, we wanted to go.
Anything off the dollar menu, baby.
No, because we used to go to Jack in the Box back in the day, you know? And it's like...
Nostalgia.
She was telling me that, somebody's telling me they would like the Jack in the Box, the old Jack in the Box tacos. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, we got to go there. And we tried it. And they rule.
Haven't we done enough to Mexico?
Rule.
But what do you think of the Impossible Burger? I had one. I have had two.
I had an Impossible Burger in Busch Gardens. It was okay.
Okay.
The Impossible Whopper tastes like a regular Whopper.
It does.
Really?
It's good, and it repeats like one too.
Yeah, it does.
You get to keep on eating, but no, the texture and everything. Now it's not healthy for you. It's full of like sodium and like I guess like fat and it's not good for you, and it's more expensive, and it's not even vegan. It's vegetarian, so I don't know if I would ever get it again just because it's not. I'm like, well, I'm supposed to cut down on beef, and I don't want chicken. Let me get this and try.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
It's really good,
but I don't think it's healthy for you.
Oh, I didn't know all that. I've had two. Of them. I had the first one. I was like, oh my God, this is actually really good. And then I was like, let me see. So then like a week later or something, I'm like, let me try that again.
You know where it's going to
kick? No, good.
That's going to kick ass around Lent season.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. That's going to cut into the BK fish.
It is, because people are sick of fish sandwiches for,
But no, it's good. But so that wasn't the funny thing. It was good though.
And on Mondays too.
I don't know if I'm going to eat it again because it's not healthy for you.
Right. Joe's girl says if it's good, that it's not good for you.
Yeah, that's not true.
Most of the time,
although I'm trying to think of something. Fruit. Grapes are good for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Grapes are good for you.
Yeah, and they're great.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I want... What the hell was I going to say? Jesus Christ.
Why don't you take some time and collect your thoughts?
The little Cumberland Farms nearby, I go there and I get a coffee and I usually get a blueberry yogurt. Rocking. It's good for you.
Anyway, the funny thing is.
Scintillating, I know.
Two yogurt references in 1 hour. It's a little much.
There was another one?
Yeah, Joe had a Greek yogurt reference.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
Looking back, that was the better reference.
So anyway, go ahead. What was the funny thing?
So I place my order in Burger King.
Right.
And there's a very small midget African-American woman.
Okay.
I keep my shit together because I'm a man. I'm professional. I don't mock others.
Okay. She worked there, you mean?
No, she was just fucking hanging out.
I don't know.
The circus train broke down next door. She fucking tumbled in. Actually, there was a car with another 53 people in it.
Wow.
And she just had to come out.
Oh,
she's a human being, not a comic, stupid.
Is she?
Yes, she is.
As soon as you said the word midget, he was exploding with lines.
I know. He was looking for a thigh to get it off on. No, she took my order.
Okay.
She worked at Burger King.
I get it.
As the... Jester Joe, I don't know. Is that where you were going?
Did you hear? Where? Can I help you? Where the hell? Did you have to look down and see where the hell the voice was coming from? Or did you give a little box you could sit on and talk to people? These are problems that could happen. Remember the midget? You know, on the when you're on the turnpike, on the Garden State Parkway, right before you get to the Stickle Bridge, they used to have the midget that worked there. There used to be a midget that worked at the rest stop, at the gas station. And
no.
You would pull it. Yeah, you come from a gig, 3 o'clock in the morning. You look like, may I help you? Where the fuck is that come? Oh, look, there's a little midget there.
No,
yeah, they should probably just
that.
Be caged and end it, right, Joe?
Well, there was one. I forgot who was in the car with me. They wanted to give him $5, but he did a headstand, but I didn't,
Oh, my God. You're
cheap. That's why. You wanted to see the headstand. You just didn't want to give $5.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. Thank God he wasn't with me. Oh, what a fucking animal.
Oh, God.
What a fucking animal.
Oh, that would have been your worst nightmare.
It always is. All right, so whatever. I don't think anything of it. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, I'm eating my meal. She comes out, and she starts singing, "We're off to see the wizard,
no.
the wonderful Wizard of Oz."
No, she did not.
I swear to God. I swear to God.
You had to laugh. You had to fucking laugh. You can't sit there.
You had
and you
to
couldn't.
Laugh.
I kept it together.
If Hitler was sitting there, he'd laugh.
Well, he doesn't like little people. They're deformed. He'd laugh and then put it in the oven.
It's too funny, even for Hitler,
He'd laugh and then hand it to...
I don't know. Sense of humor is one of the downfalls of Hitler, Joe.
He'd laugh and then hand it over to Mengele to do an experiment on.
Yeah, exactly.
Hitler would laugh if his German Shepherd rolled over and, looked his paws, but nonetheless.
Stick
sure
around for Joe
means.
In the second hour when things really pick up. So, yeah, if she sung Lollipop Guild, then I would have fucking lost.
Yeah, because that's too much.
What was that about?
I don't know. She was walking away into the bathroom.
No, oh
we're
my
off
god!
To see the wizard. No, the wonderful wizard of Oz. I'm like, oh my! I'm like, this is really happening.
Oh my god!
How am I not getting punked right now?
Yeah, when you're looking around, like, where's that Ashton Kutcher?
But I mean, what could I say? What am I going to do? Run up to her and go, really? Are
no,
you aware?
Sit there and eat your Impossible Burger and laugh your balls off. I would have spit Impossible Burger all over the fucking table from laughing.
I know.
You're an animal.
That's right.
I kept it together. I'm tolerant.
Oh, God.
Like a knitting factory audience.
You know, tolerant. Tolerance is one thing, but when you have the midget singing, we're off to see the wizard, that all bets are off the table. That's funny. I'm laughing.
I think that's somebody who's just, like, really into self-deprecating humor and shocking people.
She wasn't doing it for me.
She's singing it loud enough that people.
No, she didn't fucking see me.
Oh.
It wasn't like she saw me want to do a floor show. Had nothing to do with me.
I thought she took your order.
Yes. And then I went and ate my burger someplace else. And as I was finishing up, so I guess she was finishing up her shift. And she came out and she started, I'm off to see the wizard. And she strolled into the bathroom.
Oh my God.
Had nothing to do with me. It wasn't like I'm doing this for tips. Had nothing to do with me.
Now, I wonder if she sung High Hopes, that would be different.
I'm just thinking she just does a shtick, you know, because she's like, hey, this is my lot in life. Fuck it.
Who?
I'm going to fight.
For who? There's nobody there.
Who
she's making
knows?
Herself laugh.
Yeah.
I think you guys are reading way too into this.
Why is she singing that particular song? That's
it's a catchy tune. They got the new the movie coming out starring who's the star of that? Of
the guy.
No, the girl.
That
the
guy.
Girl. Dorothy.
Judy Garland.
Yeah, they got a new...
Judy Garland.
She started...
Yeah.
She was Dorothy.
She's old and
She's
dead.
Dorothy.
No, but they got a movie coming out about her.
About her, yeah.
So oh, right, right.
Renee,
oh, that's with Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming. Anyway.
What, the answer?
No, that she was starring as Judy Garland.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
She trained very hard and...
she lose some weight?
Yeah, she's...
She was never really heavy.
Yeah, she got a little chubby.
But
well, that was for those movies.
Yeah, she loses weight. For
what was that? For like the Diary of the Yacht?
Bridget Jones.
Bridget Jones' Diary.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then she loses the weight and she's
I haven't
her
seen her in
weight.
Years.
Yeah, well, nobody has.
Songs of the Yaya Princess or something like
nah,
that.
I don't fucking know.
But yeah, Songs of the Yaya Princess.
So I thought that was pretty.
Good title, though. When I make that movie, you'll know it.
I know, I will. That was Joe's title.
That's right.
Joe's doing it.
Songs of the Yaya Princess.
So these are the wonderful things that happen when you travel to Pennsylvania.
Well, you know what? Worse things could happen to you, I'm sure.
I do have a new thing I'm going to be doing virally. Well, hopefully it'll go viral.
Hepatitis?
Sorry. Said new, Joe. New.
Oh, yeah. Not the old hepatitis.
I will be going to rest areas.
Looking for
and
love?
Performing?
And I will no, not rest. Gas stations. While traveling and trying various cuisine. And videotaping my reviews of them called Food and Fuel. And the reason this came to me, and I will be trying more exotic stuff than I did. But I think people will actually dig this. Oh. If you say where you are, what the gas station is, and what you're trying, and you eat it on camera, and you give it a value, I think people dig that.
But careful, careful, careful. Never, ever, ever eat gas station sushi.
That's one of my jokes. I know.
No, yeah, but I mean, seriously.
I think In Search of Subway Tuna should be on the episode because that's what, coming back from Kentucky, that's what it was. A man, four states, and a dream.
An unfulfilled dream. Yeah. Still better than the fucking dreams you guys had. Can't afford a car and a lousy concert. Woo!
Yeah, I know.
So I stopped on the way home because it's like a 2+ hour ride. I had to get gas. Stop at the Exxon in Jersey. Get a black and white cookie. You know, one of the prepackaged ones.
Yeah.
Everybody loves a black and white cookie.
Joey's.
Wasn't Joey's.
Okay.
Well, how can you fuck up a black and white cookie?
If the black and white filling or the frosting sticks to the cellophane and you open it up and now you got a bare cookie and a cellophane full of black and white
icing.
And all right. That's happening.
Yeah.
This was Daisy's.
Okay, never heard of it.
I guess it's like a Joey's like fucking slutty sister that didn't quite cut it.
That's going to make her own fucking cookies
yeah, like,
and show everybody.
Joey.
Fuck Joey.
Yes.
Mom and Dad always like Joey better. I'm going out on my own.
I'm making my own cookies. Fuck Joey.
Joey won't give me grandma's recipe, but that doesn't matter. There's a hobo around the corner who's a black and white recipe. I'll use that.
I'm a little afraid, so how did...
Let's go into business, lady. Okay, we'll show him.
Well, this cookie was so bad.
Really?
How bad was it?
Thank you.
I only ate the chocolate part, and I gagged it down.
Oh, no.
And I didn't even finish the chocolate.
How bad? How could you...
Wow.
Was that bad?
It tasted like fucking gasoline and a hemorrhoid had a baby in my cookie.
Hemorrhoid had a baby.
It was a gasoroid. It tasted like chemicals.
Ew.
Yes.
Ew, that's disgusting.
It ruined a perfectly lovely evening, and I think it set back race relations. You can't put blacks and whites that together and have something that catastrophic happen with them not looking at each other with the side eye.
Wow, that was really terrible.
It was god-awful. So how do you you know my affinity for pastries?
You went through the ebony, choking it down. You couldn't even get to the ivory.
No, I mailed it. I'm like, you know what? Putting this on Instagram or whatever, and that's it. I'm done. And
wait, do you always eat the chocolate first and then go to the vanilla?
No, I was just struggling with it because I was driving and you're holding the thing and it's really sticky.
Yeah.
You know, it was a mess. It was not a well-put-together black and white cookie. A well-put-together black and white cookie, the icing should not come off in your hands.
No.
This was.
Ew, this is...
What did you go to, the Wawa down there?
Terrifying.
No, it was just an Exxon.
Oh, yeah. You got to go to the 7-Eleven. It's farther down. Go farther down.
This had the cheap gas, Joe. I was going primarily for gas.
Right, but you got to know where the good food is.
Well, that's what this new endeavor will be. Right.
Yeah.
Next time you're down at that gig, there's a set you go farther down the road.
Well, this was in Jersey.
Okay.
So I'll try taquitos and pretzels and hot dogs, and sometimes they have pastries. I'm going to try all this. I think this could go viral. Food and fuel.
Yeah, I think your intestines.
Oh, yeah, it's going to kill me.
Oh, yeah, no, it is. Yeah. This is going
to
be the end of
it. I just have to try it. I don't have to finish the whole thing.
Okay.
Take a couple bites, go, all right, that was great, and then throw the fuck
away. But he doesn't care. Like I said, when we were in Michigan, and he finally got a tuna, Subway tuna hero, and he goes, this tastes funny. I go, well, give it back. Get something else. No, it's okay.
This I could not finish.
Oh.
There was nothing funny about this cookie.
No.
So. No. So you like this idea, though, food and fuel?
I do. Sure. I think it'll be entertaining.
Yeah, I'll keep it down to like a minute or less.
Yep.
Real quick hitter.
Now, hopefully, don't forget, you got to show the orderly how to hold the camera when you're getting your stomach pumped on the way home wherever you wind up.
Yeah, that's a thought that occurred to me when I said about the sushi.
Mm. Hospitals and bedpans, the epilogue for each episode.
Yeah. Yes, rate the hot the ER.
No, I probably will have to try like a sushi at some point.
Oh, God, no, don't. Really don't.
I'll work my way to that.
No, really don't.
I mean, but this was like a prepackaged thing. This wasn't even something like a specialty thing. Like, I want to try the specialty things.
Oh,
but this was a prepack. But never get daisies. It's a Shonda.
No, yeah. No, that's terrible.
To fuck up a cookie that I hope they're fasting and atoning right now, the people at Daisies.
It should be, yeah.
So, all right. Take our first break. We come back. What do we got? What do we got? We got some School of Fools when we come back. Religious freedom and pronouns, biatches. That'll be interesting. On the break, we got new music from JDXL with Low Key and Christopher Taylor with 16 Wishes.